welcome to the BSG Podcast. My name is Quinn, and today we're going to be talking about some news. I'm going to be your solo host for the day, as Chase is still on vacation. But, the news still goes on whether Chase is on vacation or not, so I have some news to get to use. We're going to be talking about everything that happened the last week. Today is July 15th, 2019. We'll be talking about everything that's happened in the last 7 days, as well as maybe some things that are happening right now, or maybe happening a little bit in the future. How it's going to work is I'm going to begin by just talking about the news, not really getting into my opinions on the news, or specific details that might be more speculation. And then in a little bit, after I get over the news, I might give my opinions on things. And if you don't want to listen to that part, don't worry. Feel free to bounce on out. If you're coming for the news, stay for the news. Leave when Quinn gives his BS. I feel ya. Don't worry about it. It's understandable. Now, if you want to tweet at me, feel free to do so at BS Games Podcast on Twitter. I would very much appreciate talking to someone, as Chase is gone and I am very lonely. You can also do me a huge solid by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening to this podcast. That would also be awesome. Now, without further ado, let's get into it. So starting with the game releases of the week, here they are. This is actually not all the games for the week, but, I just thought, since there's a lot of news stories for this week, and I'm going to be talking a lot, talking to myself a lot, because no thanks to Chase, am I right? I thought I would just cover the main games that came out this week. There were a lot of sort of B level games, a lot of like weird VR games that really don't deserve, like who's going to play these games? No one is going to play these random VR games that are launched on Steam or wherever. The only VR game I will mention is that Sorrento VR is coming out on PS4 VR. But other than that, we have Streets of Rogue coming out on Xbox One and Switch, Way Out coming out on Switch, Dragon Quest Builders 2 coming out on Switch and PS4, and God Eater 3 coming out on Switch. Like I said, there were a few other games, not as notable, so excuse me for missing a few, but I really wanted to get on to the news of the week. And starting with the news of the week, we're going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch Lite is coming out. It's going to be coming out in the fall. It's going to be handheld only, no docking system, so you can't play on your TV. It's only handheld. There's no detachable Joy-Cons. The joysticks and everything is built into the machine. It's pretty much like a DS, but for higher quality games. Almost like a PSP or PS Vita, but for Nintendo, which is kind of interesting. It's going to cost $200. It's a little bit smaller, a little bit lighter than the traditional Switch. And it's coming out in September 20th. And there will be a special edition that comes out on November 8th, which is going to be the special Pokemon Sword and Shield Switch versions, if you're interested in those. Moving on, we have some Cuphead news. Now, I don't know if any of you know what Cuphead is, but it was a very successful platforming indie game that came out a little while ago that really got a lot of hype behind it because it was based on 1940s, 1950s cartoons, sort of like the beginning of Disney. Maybe that was more 1920s, but like beginning of Disney, those really like ragtimey old sort of style cartoons. The game was based off those cartoons, and all the animation, all the drawings, all the everything are inspired directly from those cartoons. Now, that game that was inspired by those cartoons is getting its own cartoon, apparently, on Netflix. So that is really cool. Another cool thing that's happening is one of the main founders and co-creators of the Halo universe, Marcus Leto, is under his new development studio, V1 Interactive. They announced a new game called Disintegration. And they had a little teaser trailer up, and they plan to release some more in the next week. So maybe I'll talk about it next week. But they plan to come out in early 2020, and it is a first-person sci-fi shooter. So that's interesting, especially coming from a Halo veteran like Marcus Leto. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And some more lighthearted news, I guess, if you want to consider it that, a Pakistani politician actually mistook a GTA 5 stunt video for a real life event. Now, in the video, what happens is that one of the, I guess I'm assuming, players drives like an oil tanker onto the runway, and the plane, I think probably piloted by another player, is trying to land where this oil tanker is parked, and instead of hitting it, it flies over it. And that's literally all that happens, is that if you've ever played a GTA game, it's basically like you're flying a plane and you almost hit your buddy, and that was it. That was recorded, and it was shot in a way where it looked, you know, it didn't look real, but it looked like it was from, like GTA 5 can look really good. And let's just say it looked really good, and it was also like a low quality version of what it actually looks like in GTA, so maybe it confused the politician. But anyways, what he tweeted was, "Narrow escape of an aircraft which could have ended in a great disaster. Miraculous save by the pilot's presence of mind." Now, like I said, it wasn't real. It was a GTA 5 video, so take that with a grain of salt. I am going to actually talk about this later because I think there is some concern there, especially with this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Actually, in the past, Russia used a mobile game AC-130 simulation thing as proof that the US was working with ISIS. And there was a documentary that used like Arma 2 footage and claimed it was IRA attacks on a helicopter. There's a bunch of weird stuff out there where people are using like games or like, I eventually want to get into like deep fakes to push their agenda a little bit, but we'll talk about that in the discussion. The news is that the Pakistani politician talked or tweeted about this GTA stunt video mistakenly, thinking it was real, and there were actually a lot of other people that did the same. So, just kind of a funny thing. Moving on to some bigger news, Amazon Game Studios just spent $250 million on the rights to make a Lord of the Rings game. And what kind of game they're making? They're making an MMO, which is awesome. But there are some concerns there. They've actually been working on another survival-based MMO type of game that still hasn't been released yet. So there is concerns that the studio might not be the best studio at the moment to be taking on such a project, as they have zero released games, and the one they announced a long time ago still isn't out yet. So that is sort of the consensus, is that people are excited because it's going to be a Lord of the Rings MMO, but concerned because the Amazon Game Studios hasn't really put anything out there yet. What we do know about it, though, is that it's a free-to-play MMORPG. It's going to be that, hopefully. And there's not going to be any survival elements, or there might be, but it's not going to be the same type of game that they're currently making. So they're basically splitting the studio up into making two games. The game they've been working on for the past couple of years, which is sort of like a survival-based, I would say maybe like Rust, like a game akin to Rust. And then this totally MMORPG classic style MMO, which is going to be based around the Lord of the Rings universe. They're also collaborating with the quote-unquote developers of Warframe. I say that because it's actually the company that purchased the developers of Warframe, not actually the developers of Warframe, if that makes sense. It's not the original developers of Warframe, just the parent company they're partnering with. So that could be really good, that could be really bad, we'll have to find out. We'll have to wait and see. Another thing that Amazon is doing, and I'm sure a lot of you are aware of this, is that Amazon's Prime Day starts today and tomorrow. So on the 15th and 16th of July, so probably by the time you've heard this, the deal is over, but there's going to be deals, and there's definitely going to be deals on video games. And now Chase actually put some deals down for each console, and we're just going to read off what he thinks is a good deal on Prime Day. For Switch deals, he said he liked Civilization VI for $30 and Octopath Traveler for $45. He's really, goddamn, him and RPGs. Octopath Traveler, he could not talk more about. PS4 deals he liked was Devil May Cry 5 for $40, which is more expensive than on Steam, just saying. Kingdom Hearts 3 for $20. God of War, I guess it's just God of War 4. God of War. The PS4 God of War is $20, which was $20 last year, so, you know, there's that. The Last of Us Remastered for $9, and that's been out for a while. I'm just saying. So I don't know if these are the best deals. And Persona 5 for $20 as well. Now, Xbox deals, we got Battlefield 5 for $23, Assassin's Creed Odyssey for $20, and Divinity Original Sin 2 for $20. Just something to note is that in our last conversation Chase and I had, we talked about game pricing. And for things like Battlefield 5, one thing to mention is that you're not going to get the entire game for $23. That's just sort of the entry fee. And you got to be aware of things like season passes and additional DLC you might need to purchase. Like for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I'm sure there's DLC you can purchase. But for Divinity Original Sin 2, it's the definitive edition, so it comes with all the DLC. Just things to be aware of. I think there's a lot of things that I'm going to be personally looking for on Prime Day to purchase. They're going to be more PC-oriented, not necessarily gaming, but more so just technology. Like I'm going to be looking at maybe PC parts or a new laptop, stuff like that. And I'll keep you guys updated if you want to know just sort of PC part and how to like find that sort of stuff in the future. So that's just my shopping list. If you guys are interested in console stuff, that's Chase's list right there. Now, kind of into some rapid-fire PC news. There was a lot going on in PC, and I don't want to make it bigger than the news that happened with like things like Amazon and console-based stuff. But there were some things that I wanted to mention. I'll probably talk about them a little bit later in the discussion section. But Valve announced that they're doing something called Steam Labs. So if you use Steam, what they're doing is that they're making it so all of their sort of Steam launcher experiments that they don't release to the public are now going to be released to the public so that users can give feedback on them and say, oh, we like this feature, we don't like this feature, and maybe it will allow Steam to update quicker and give users the features that they want. Another thing is that Epic Games is paying a lot of money for exclusives on their platform. I was reading an article from I wouldn't say a AAA dev, but they're more of like a B-level dev or maybe even C-level dev, like a game that not many people are playing, or the games that they're basically the developers of Sniper Elite 5 and Zombie Army 4. One of the developers said that Epic Games is really paying a lot of money to developers to keep their games exclusive to the Epic platform. And that's for non-AAA games. They were saying that basically their studio was getting paid a lot of money, so much so that they felt like they actually could focus on the game and not have to worry about finding ways to monetize their game and get money, which is a very interesting thing that I want to talk to Chase about eventually, just that this conflict. Unfortunately, it's just PC-oriented, and I'm sorry I get so into just PC stuff, but it's a very relevant thing, at least on the PC ecosystem. And I guess I'll just talk about it more in the discussion, but essentially, Epic Games is paying a lot of money to a lot of people right now. Like, a lot of money. And in the article, the developer, or one of the head devs at the development studio said that they would describe it almost to the standoff between Sony and Microsoft, where they would fight for exclusive games after there was a big shift. Like when the PlayStation 2 pretty much completely won over the Xbox, then the PS3 came out and wasn't the best system. That's what he would attribute Steam as being right now. And so he's sort of saying like it's Epic Games / Microsoft's turn to turn the tables a little bit. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. Last thing would be that developers would rather you pirate their game than buy their game from G2A. Now, if you don't know what G2A is, G2A is a key reselling site where you can sell your keys to games that you haven't activated. Now, that's for any system, so if you have the key to a game on like Switch or Steam or Xbox or PlayStation Store, you can resell those keys through this website. Now, immediately, your alarms should be going off and thinking, okay, this is a little bit sketchy. Why do people have a bunch of keys that they want to sell? Now, the problem is that a lot of these keys are actually purchased with fraudulent credit cards, and those keys can't really be nullified until after the fact. So after the key has usually been sold on G2A, then the key is either canceled or the developer has to eat the cost. And oftentimes, even if they do cancel the key and like rectify that situation, there is still a cost they have to pay for essentially, they have to deal with the fraudulent stuff, right? And then on top of that is that you have customers that have purchased games through G2A that now don't have a game despite purchasing through it this site. So they get angry at the developers. Then developers get emails saying like, hey, I purchased your game on G2A. Why can't I play it? So essentially, developers have been coming out and saying that G2A is just a mess of issues. Not only does it cost the developers money, they physically have to pay out of pocket for these fraudulent charges, but also it gives just the ecosystem on G2A is really scammy, and ultimately it just hurts developers. Whereas if you just went out and pirated the game, it doesn't actually count as a sale against the game. So there isn't a sale happening that's getting refunded, which ultimately hurts the developer. Instead, it's just like a download that doesn't exist in the storefront. Now, that's some complicated language there, but it essentially what I'm saying is that they would rather you find the game for free somewhere and download it off of a like a Pirate Bay sort of website, where they'd rather you pirate the game and not cost them any money and not cost them any heartache than buy a fraudulent copy of the game from G2A specifically. So that's pretty interesting. Now, I've been talking for a while, and that's pretty much your news for the week, so I'm going to get a drink of water, and I will be right back here in a jiffy to talk about some of these things in more detail. I know that I actually kind of went off a little bit this week, and I talked about things a little bit before just jumping on to the next topic, but I think I get a break because Chase hasn't been here, and I need someone to keep me in line because I'm slipping, man. I'm slipping. I'm getting into my own zone here. But anyways, I'm going to get some water. I'll be right back. I'll be calm and collected, and we can start talking about some stuff. Well, I am back. I got some water. It was nice and cold and refreshing. And now it's time to discuss a little bit before I have to go on my merry way. Now, the first thing I want to touch on, I just want to touch on it because it's not particularly gaming related. I mean, I want to talk about Pakistan, the Pakistani politician who thought that a GTA 5 video was real life. And that part is video game related because he thought a video game was real life. But the thing I want to talk about isn't video game related. And that's how wrong or false information or false media specifically, like fake media, like a meme or a deep fake, that's specifically what I want to talk about, or GTA 5 stunt videos, which are not real. None of those are real images or real events. Well, I guess memes can be, but deepfakes and stunt videos, right? Like those aren't real, and how people think they are real or use them as proof of something being real. And that's just something I'm concerned about. I don't necessarily have something to really discuss in particular. If Chase was here, maybe we can talk about it in the future, but the one thing I just want to touch on is that deepfakes and deepfake technology, and if you don't know what a deepfake is, it's essentially AI-assisted video mapping of someone's face onto another, like onto an actor's face to essentially, like a bad way to describe it, or a good way to describe it, I guess, is that you can essentially use an AI to record footage of anyone and then make them say anything or make them do anything. And one of the first uses of deepfakes was to copy and paste so female celebrities and paste their faces and their likeness onto porn actresses. And because the technology and the AIs used for this are getting very good, essentially, the problem with it, or I guess the benefit, if this is what you're into, is that the porns it was producing, or the process, the porns the process could produce were legitimate. Like, you felt like they were legitimate. You felt they were real. And it actually opened up into this larger conversation, and I know this isn't gaming related, I'm sorry, but larger conversation about deepfakes being banned from all, like, porn sites, because it was essentially like identity theft in a weird way, and it's still going on. It's not necessarily, I mean, there's probably porn out there that have deepfakes, but I now know it's more, it's broader than just porn now. It's, you can essentially download deepfake AI to do the same sort of thing. It'll be a jankier thing, most likely, but yes, you can now make anyone pretty much say or act out anything in a weird way. And that technology is only going to get better and better, and it's going to make it easier and easier for fake media to be produced. So I guess I'm just raising a concern. I am concerned about that. And I am concerned that not necessarily that people will mistake video games for real things, but obviously some people do. But you gotta dig for your facts, man. You gotta research where things are coming from. If you see Albert Einstein talking about things in the future, you see a future video of him talking about how he was born on Mars or something, don't believe it right away. You gotta research it. Double check that it wasn't some AI posting his face on some random dude. Right? Be aware. Stay woke. I guess that's my discussion on this. It's scary. Things are gonna get scary in the future. I've also seen that they're developing AI to detect when AI have faked photos and videos. When basically a deepfake has been produced by an AI, there's another AI being developed to detect when that's happened. Because eventually they're going to get to such a point that we physically won't be able to tell the difference. Our eyes won't be sharp enough to tell the difference. And that's scary. That's some scary business. All right, that's some scary business. But moving on from that, because I don't have a ton of information in front of me to discuss that in more detail, but I'm just scared, and I wanted to say I'm scared. It's a scary thing. But moving on. I want to talk about Prime Day, because Chase was excited, and he wrote down some deals that he thought would be good for consoles, and that's, you know, perfectly fine, perfectly cute, and all that. But I don't know about you guys, I've just never thought Prime Day was any good. I never felt Prime Day was ever worth it. And I know this year they're trying to push it. It's now 2 days long. Whoa, crazy. Amazon, you're giving me too much. It's now 2 days long. You can now get a $10 coupon if you shop at Whole Foods and spend 10 bucks. So there's that. I guess, I get 10 bucks and X percent off of random things for 2 days. Great. Now, in the past, they've sort of only offered junk deals on junk. And hopefully that's not the case. I have looked around a little bit today, and there seems to be some percentages off here and there. I saw like some 15% off deals for some laptops and computer-based stuff. And like I said earlier, I'm kind of looking into it. I haven't decided to pull the trigger yet. I don't know that I'm actually going to get a new computer or buy new computer parts, but I have been looking into it, especially because the new AMD CPUs that have been coming out are pretty awesome. And that's something I'm excited about. And they're really cheap and they're more powerful than stuff I have. I have a super old GPU. It's probably like 5 years old. So that's something I'm looking into. I'm looking into better graphics card because I do VR. I'm looking into a lot of stuff. I don't know why, you know, I'm in a little bit of a mood to buy something expensive. So I've been looking on Amazon. I'm looking at Prime deals. I'm not sure I'm going to buy anything, but that's the thing. I just don't feel like it's that much of a deal on Prime days. Does anyone feel like there's a ton of deals or good deals? Good deals is what I'm saying specifically. I don't ever feel that Prime Day has delivered prime deals. If you're paying $100-something a year for Prime, for Amazon Prime, I would expect prime deals. And that's, I don't feel like I'm getting that. I really don't. God of War is $20. God of War was $20 last year. So I don't get it. I really don't get it. Actually, a year and a half ago, I think it was $20. Maybe not a year and a half ago, because I don't know if it was out a year and a half ago. When was it $20? Oh, it's 6 months ago. 6 months, 6 to 9 months ago, it was $20. I think it was over Christmas. It was like dropped to $20. Last of Us Remastered. I think I've seen that for $9 at like a GameStop for a long time. So they're just things that I'm like, I don't feel, it doesn't make me want to buy anything. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And maybe I'll update you guys next week and I'll say, you know what, I bought this, this, and this, and they were some really good deals, but I just don't know if Prime Day is going to really deliver on the deals. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. Anyways, getting on to the last stuff that I want to talk about, which was mainly the PC-oriented stuff. Mainly it was the Valve announcing Steam Labs and just talking about Epic Games as well, because this is an ongoing conversation, and I know it's not the most exciting thing to cover every week, but, you know, I just feel like, personally, I feel invested in it, and personally, I want to talk about it. And now that's because Steam and Epic Games are rivals, right? They're two storefronts on the PC marketplace. So if you want to buy a PC game, you can go to Steam and purchase it on Steam, or you can go to Epic and purchase on Epic. Now, both have exclusives, and there are many other stores. There's also the Battle.net launcher, Uplay, and Origin, and there's a bunch of other stuff, but I'm mainly focusing on Epic Games and Steam. And now both have exclusives, but Epic Games is really, really trying hard, to make Steam catch up to what should be acceptable today. So Epic Games is paying a lot of money for exclusive games. Epic Games is paying a lot of money to developers to just have, it doesn't have to be exclusive to Epic Games launcher, but just to have games on their launcher, they're paying more. They're taking less of a percentage per purchase. I think they're taking 12% as opposed to Steam's 30%. Which is a massive difference. And so in some respect, Steam really has to step up their game. And I think this is one thing they're trying to do, which was the Steam Labs, as I talked about a little bit earlier. Now, like I said, Steam Labs is essentially a weird beta environment where you can try out some of the experiments Valve has been making for the Steam launcher, but has never pushed out. For either what, for fear of users not liking the new experiences they've been making or whatever, what may have you. But I think they're getting a little bit scared and they're realizing that they need to be open and transparent with their user base or they're not going to be able to improve. They're going to be stuck in the past and they're going to be run over by the future. And so you have things like Dota Underlords, which is their auto chess game, came out of left field, and they've been updating it like who knows what. They've just been going, updating that game like crazy, really trying to be transparent with their players, telling them what's going on, telling them their plans for the game, and I think that is their move for the actual launcher as well. So for Steam, they're saying, here are some ideas we have. We've gotten them to a point where you can actually play around with them and see what they're about. And if you like them, please let us know and we can include them into the Steam launcher. And if you don't like them, we'll just leave them alone. Now, the three main things that they actually have on Steam Labs right now, the three experiments you can try out and see if you enjoy or not, are these like micro trailers for games, which are essentially, if you think about it, if you're hovering over a YouTube video or, you know, a porno, that's another conversation about how pornography is essentially the leading edge of modern web technology. But essentially, the idea that if you hover over a video, it plays sections of that video before you even click on it. That is essentially what these mini trailers are. Instead of having to have a long 3-minute trailer play for each individual game, essentially there will be a page of all of these games in almost like a GIF format, where you won't see the entirety of a trailer, but you'll see like segments and GIFs all compiled into a little 10-second video, which honestly seems kind of like a gimmick. And another feature they had was also kind of like a gimmick, which was that they wanted to have a 30-minute infomercial type of video that could live on the storefront of Steam and where you could just have running in the background and check out games as this infomercial played. Now, it wouldn't be an infomercial in the sense that someone's trying to sell you something, but it would just be like a 30 minute to an hour long video of these micro trailers of just random games that are updated or have new content or just were released. And so it would be this daily packed news, essentially, of new games and new content being highlighted. But from what it seemed like, it wouldn't really be highlighted in any pleasing way. It just came off as like trailers and these micro trailers stacked into a 30-minute, hour-long video. And it was, I don't know, it didn't look good. If they cleaned it up and they actually figured out how to make things look nice and seem presentable and actually offer value to people on the platform, I could totally see it being an awesome feature to basically have like a little 30-minute show that plays every day, giving you the updates on all games across Steam, like the major launches, or even catering it to your specific library and your specific interests would also be awesome. And I would say that's welcome on the Steam launcher, but that's not what they're experimenting with. But with their third experiment, they really could tie all this together, and that was they're trying to use an AI or a neural network to help you find games you like based on the most recent games you've played and the amount of hours you've put into them. And what they could do is that they would have different sliders that you could manipulate to find a game that is right for you and your current mood. So if you were looking for a AAA game, you could put like the relevance slider up really high. But if you wanted something more niche, you could move that slider really low, and then it would recommend a game based on your library that is really niche and has just came out and that you might be interested in, and vice versa. If you are looking for a AAA game that you haven't heard of, you just slide the slider to the relevance slide or whatever. The wording and the naming doesn't necessarily matter, but essentially you can pick and choose how you want to find your games, and there is some sort of AI helping and evaluating all this data from your library to determine what games would be right for you in the future and at present. That's cool. I thought that was really cool. I just thought that they all need a little bit of work. I think the choosing and helping you find a game was the most finished, most polished, and the two other video-oriented, media-oriented things were not, and really needed to be user-specific and really maybe combined with that AI or neural network or whatever they're doing to help you figure out what needs to be added to your library, what games you want for the future. And if they could combine that with the mini trailers and stuff like that, then that maybe could work, where it recommends you a game and it shows you the mini trailer, or it recommends you a list of games and shows you this compiled 30-minute video. That is something interesting. That is something the Epic Games Launcher doesn't offer. That is where Steam is going to keep its edge as like the premium launcher for customers first, right? Like, yes, they're paying less to developers, but they have way better chat functionality than Epic Games. They have way better invite functionality to allow players to come together as a community. They have workshops for their games. They have community pages for their games. They have so many things that make the Steam a more community and player-based platform. And if they pumped more energy into that, I think they'd be doing right. They'd be doing right by me if I got an AI that would tell me a perfect game for me that just came out. That would be pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I think it'd be awesome to have that a Steam robot telling me, hey, you'll like this game, and I'm a really smart robot, so, you know, I have a 97% accuracy on your excitement levels, and I know this game is a game you will spend 324 hours in, so buy it. That'd be awesome. That way I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do this news section. I don't have to look up at things on my own. I can just have this AI do it for me. You know, that's the whole point. That's the future. That's what I'm waiting on. Anyways, thank you for listening. Sorry I got a little bit rambly there. Sorry this is a little bit of an awkward show this week. I blame Chase for not being here. I've been losing my mind. I've been losing my structure. I need my co-host. I need my co-host. I miss him. I hope he's having a good time. Maybe not too good of a time, because I need him to be back here helping me out. But I miss him, and I'm losing it. But thank you for listening. Hopefully I educated you on something, whether that was the news for the week or maybe some discussion topics that now you think more deeply about. That's all I really care about, as well as talking to you guys eventually. Maybe if you want to tweet us, you can tweet us at BS Games Podcast. If you want to interact with us, discuss outside of the podcast some of these topics. And if you want to do me and Chase the biggest of favors, the biggest of solids, leave us a review on wherever you're listening to this podcast. It doesn't matter if it's a good or bad review. We just want to know what you like, what you dislike about the podcast. And you can also do that on Twitter. Like I said, BS Games Podcast. We just want to hear from you. Thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.